views and opinions expressed on Geeks Under the Influence are that of the panelists and not of our sponsors, Amazon.com and TeePublic. Parental discretion is advised.
We have fun.
We do. Ugh. We have lots of fun. Oh, my chums.
Such a full chum bucket.
You know what else is fun, Lowdown?
What, Hobbit? What is fun?
Singing.
Singing is fun.
It
I
is
enjoy
a lot
it.
Of fun. Whenever I have a song in my heart, I like to let it out. Give it to the world as a gift.
I thought that was farting for you.
That is also farting for me. But when I am not farting, I am singing the song of my people.
When you sing, you are a jolly man.
The song of your people.
The song of my people. Would you like to hear the song that I came up with when completely on my own, definitely not ripped off from a Broadway musical, about the 4 years of GUI?
I would love to hear that song.
Would you like to sing with me?
I would love to.
How about the rest of you?
Let's do it!
Absolutely. For sure.
Yes,
yay.
Yes.
525,600 dick jokes. 525,000 ounces of beer. 525,600 dick jokes. How do you measure 4 years? In dry checks, in drunk scenes, in mentions of J. Baruchel, in Marvel, in DC, Star Wars, in Trek. 525,600 dick jokes. How do you measure 4 years of GUI? Dad jokes. 525,000 shit shows to blame. 525,600 dad jokes. How do you measure the height of a hobbit or a man?
Facts that we've learned, or in drinks we've imbibed, with rage I've burned. We're lucky no one's died.
Time now to sing loud, though the podcast never ends. Let's have a toast, remember 4 years in the show with friends. Remember the love. Remember the love. Remember the love.
Measure. Measure your show with love.
4 years of
measure your show with love.
God, guys.
All right, yeah, so, no, we're not doing that the whole show. That'd be a lot.
I'm not quitting my day job.
Yeah. Welcome, everyone, to our four-year anniversary episode of Geeks Under the Influence, and no better way to celebrate 4 years of this shit show than bringing you extra shit show this time. We're talking musicals this episode, so we're going to be getting into ins and outs of Broadway musicals. We're going to be talking about probably some animated musical stuff. We're going to be talking about movies that we've come to know and love, or TV show episodes that have musical elements, all sorts of stuff relating to musicals. No holds barred. And with me tonight to discuss all things musically inclined in cinema and on stage is a panel of five that we have this evening.
Yeah, the last time we did this was Stan Lee, was well needed also.
Absolutely, but I couldn't think of a better way to celebrate 4 years than singing terribly and having a bigger panel than normal. So let's go over the cast of characters we have here on Geeks Under the Influence for this episode. To my right, are you still Yankee Blue Jeans? Do we still go by Yankee Blue Jeans?
Absolutely.
It's been a while since you've been on.
I will forever be Yankee Blue Jeans.
Forever Yankee Blue Jeans.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So with us is Jody Yankee Blue Jeans.
What up?
That may or may not have a little bit to say about musicals.
I don't like them at all.
None. Mm. None whatsoever. Says the person wearing a Hamilton Star Wars Rebels like mashup shirt type of thing.
It's a Ramones mashup, Ramones, bitch.
Yeah, but
yeah.
Yeah, there's some mashing up happening on that
shirt. I was not a theater major at some point. Yeah.
You didn't just share the story of like screaming and crying when you saw the stage of Hamilton. When,
No, I'm fine.
So we're going to be leaning on your knowledge of a Fun Home, I think. We're only going to be discussing Home this evening. That's such a brutal show.
That show's so good, and I cried so hard. So lots of crying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And somebody that's been brutalized, I think, like, actual spousal abuse with Fun Home is one of the co-hosts of...
Well, I do know how to give a good present.
Yeah.
That's one of my few actual skills in life. So I know the things that she loves, and I get her tickets to those things.
And then you win.
I get to have sex every once in a while.
Yeah.
So, hey, it's awesome. I'm digging it.
It's a good plan to have. Yeah,
it's, you know, this is how marriages work.
So instead of I got
in the modern age,
instead of I got these hamburgers, it's like I got these Hamilton tickets.
I got these Hamilton tickets.
All right, fair enough.
Shut up.
The person on the mic that's probably never getting laid again is the co-host of Beautiful Disasters.
Well,
Mr.
you know,
Herr Grootz is here.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. And I have also, you know, been a fan of certain musicals, not some, but certain musicals. Yeah, but we'll get into that more later.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah, we're going to talk about
what
some of our favorites.
What shirt are you wearing?
Oh, I am wearing a shirt from Les Miserables.
Nice.
You know, it's his prison number.
Oh, okay. That's a nice little deep cut shirt.
24601,
heck
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, bitch.
Next to the Groots. Returning to bring all the musical knowledge and probably a lot of Disney musical knowledge along with her is the little swole maid is here.
Hey guys, what's up? It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a little bit since you've been on. But I'm glad that you're coming on for this one. I know your deep, impassioned love for Disney musical type stuff.
I also may just sit and cry too, but we love it.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's awesome and awesome to be here with you guys.
Heck yeah. Happy to have you on. This is fantastic.
Yeah, this is awesome.
The other gentleman that was baritoning, James Hetfield, real hard on that Rent parody is the host of GOI Nights and my co-host here on Geek Some of the Influence, Mr. Lowdown Brown MacGyver.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
You have the voice of an angel, sir.
I do not, but thank you. I do not.
Now, what do you determine it was Jim Brewer doing James Hetfield that you were doing? Okay.
Yes, because that was like probably the funniest. I remember when I first heard that. It was right when the Napster thing was coming out and everyone was making fun of Metallica, and he made up that skit. And yeah, that was still hilarious to me.
Absolutely.
I fucking loved it. So, yep, that's what I was going for. Yep, and I do also have a love for musicals, which is actually something my wife and I, little swole maid, clicked on. She was surprised because apparently most men don't like musicals.
Well, also, you're a big, beefy man. Yeah. You don't look like the type that would be just like, I just love Les Miserables.
Don't put me in a box. I actually don't like Les Miserables, though.
Actually, I don't.
I fell asleep to that shit.
No, I love that shit.
Or like Fiddler on the Roof. I don't like that shit either.
Les Miserables is exhausting.
No, it is. It is a little exhausting, but there's some good. There's some good shit in there.
Yeah, if I can cut to those, then I'm fine. I don't need the whole experience.
Yeah,
I don't need to be tired and depressed the whole time. Okay, thanks.
Seriously. Spoiler alert: everyone dies.
If I would be tired and depressed, I'll go to a Sigur Rós concert. So.
And the purveyor of GUI Nights, the man to my right, also the host of Smack My Pitch Up.
Hi.
You're looking at Mike the Hobbit Bickett.
That's me.
Yeah.
Yay. Welcome, everyone, to this episode of Geeks Under the Influence. I am super excited to be celebrating 4 fucking years.
Dude,
this is nuts.
Christ.
When we started this, 4 years ago, there was never any thought that we would be lasting this long doing this. And also didn't realize just how much fun and how popular, you know, it would get with our audience. You know, we've got a pretty good following. We've got the opportunity to do live shows. We finally have a show on the network that is recorded only live.
Yeah.
Which
fucking
is
awesome.
So rad.
And they wanted us. They actually wanted us back.
Yeah, they wanted us back. They
fuck.
They didn't say get out and stay out. They're like, no, you can do this again. So that's exciting.
It is. It really is. Yeah, dude. 4 year. Fuck, man. I got memories pop up from 2017 today in Facebook, and we were recording the Keanu Reeves episode.
Oh man, that was like a fun episode too.
Yeah, it was one of the ones Eddie was on, which was nice.
Yep.
Yeah. But anyway, I'm just like, yeah. Every time I get a flashback from 3 or 4 years ago, it's like, fuck.
I feel the same way.
Yeah, I know.
Like, oh, this little podcast thing, it's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, we're still doing this.
Yeah, we're right. Oh, you're all still. Right. Yep. Okay.
We're still in this? All right, yep. Good.
Cool.
Good. Stronger cool. than ever. Like steel.
I got to give it up to the spouses in the room for dealing with all the absurdity that comes with podcasting over the years.
Whoa. No. The thing, she does all kinds of stuff that, no. Okay, the lifting thing is a whole other level for her, so.
That's true.
It's mutual support.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. It's exactly. Like you have
and
your thing.
It's like shaming, but mutual support.
It's yeah. Like shaming, yes.
It's like shaming. I like that.
But, well, you know, I just really enjoy inflicting bad movies on people.
That's true. You are really fond of making people cringe with your movie choices.
And we've had some real good ones.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So let's get into the musical stuff. But first off, I want to make mention that we are going to be moving most of our shows to their own streams on Geeks Under the Influence Network. So when this episode comes out, that should mostly be taken care of. But just check out our website, GUIpodcast.com, to get the update on how that's going and whether when it's all fully transferred over. We'll make announcements on our social media as well. So we're growns up and we're growns up. We need to have our own little streams for each show so that you have the opportunity to subscribe to what shows you want to on the network and not just get inundated with everything that we have. We've got 8 shows now. We can't do that to you guys on one stream. It's got to be separate a little bit. So check that out on our social media to get updates on the new links to the streams for all the different shows.
Coming soon to a theater near you.
Yeah. It's more podcasts than your body has room for. All right, so musicals, let's talk about our favorites to start. I think that's a good place to get going with. Personally, I got to see Phantom of the Opera when I was 18 in live, and I absolutely loved it. It has aged poorly for me in my life. Like, I just don't have as much interest in, like, rocking the fuck out of the Phantom's, you know, soundtrack. It's just not my thing. But Rocky Horror is really probably the first real musical that I latched onto pretty hard. So,
did you ever chance to see that live?
No, never okay. Got a chance to see. I saw the performances in front of the movie being played.
I think we both went to that at the same. Yeah, at the HorrorCon. Yeah, I mean that was cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean that's a bunch of fun. That's a tradition at this point. Mm-hmm. It's been going on for what? How many decades now?
Yeah,
fuck.
That they've been doing that. But you know, musicals are just a different way to enjoy a live show. You know, it's not opera, it's not a play, it's not a movie necessarily. It's all like it kind of is its own, you know, entity.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like I also saw Phantom when I was young. My mother took us to go see it, you know, when we were living in Europe, like way back in the day. And we loved it as kids because, you know, there was horror and there was, you know, drama and stuff like that. But you're right. It doesn't age that well. And it's kind of like this gothic romance thing. And it's just kind of like, oh, okay, well, I've seen it once. It doesn't have a lot of replay value.
And I think it's actually the romance in that actually ages, that when I'm a teenager, it's like, oh, they're, you know, lovelorn and fucking. And when you get older, it's like, this is some fucking emo shit right here.
Yeah, for real.
Fucking rough. Dude, you're a stalker. Stop. It's just weird.
I want to piggyback on what Anthony said about, like, just being in the theater and being able to, like, for me, it's like a checkout. Like, you check out from life for that, like, X amount of hours. Like, you know, your focus is all on what's going on stage. You literally cannot process all of it half the time, and you have no time to think about anything else. So I think that's why I've always been drawn to it. Being on stage and then also watching live theater performances is, like, a zone. Like, you're just in the zone and you're enjoying all of the talent, and then you go back to real life. But it's a great way to check out.
And what's the one that you got, like, pulled into early in the night?
I've seen a few. So favorites, I mean, Wicked is up there for me.
Yeah,
it's one of my favorites.
Fair enough.
And it was also my 13-year-old's first.
Oh, nice.
So okay. It was his reaction to that draw and awe, like mm-hmm. jaw drop, like the whole time.
Oh, I'm sure.
And it was like that moment of like, yes, like you're in this with me. Like it was like awesome.
The first hit's free.
Yeah, like, exactly.
There really is something to be said about a live staged performance as opposed to watching a film or watching a TV show or whatever it is, because you know everything is happening right in front of you. There can be fuck ups. There can be, you know, every performance is going to be slightly unique because there might be something out of place here or whatever might happen. So it you really get sort of a sense of thrill when watching that.
For me, the first was Into the Woods, because Sondheim is so layered and mm-hmm. so like deep. That show is, I think, pretty much what musical theater is to me.
Okay, that's like created kind of the template for you on
absolutely,
what,
okay. absolutely.
And Sondheim is one of those that I mean, Lin-Manuel Miranda is kind of getting into that groove now as being one of those just known people for their musicals.
Sondheim was an advisor to Lin.
So, oh, that's fantastic!
Yeah,
yeah, hell yeah!
Sondheim is everything. So we've also what company?
Yeah, we saw Company.
Company is very, very deep.
I mean, the thing with Sondheim, he's on another level, okay? If you want to, like, parallel that with, like, film directors, you know, like, he's on, like, a Darren Aronofsky yes. style okay. level where he's just, like, he's doing some shit that's, like...
I think it's called LSD.
High yeah. art. You know, he's doing some high art. There's a lot of talent to it. And he's revered for that. And he definitely has made the waves. Like, yeah, like she said, Lin-Manuel Miranda was hugely influenced by him. But it really is a different experience. Like, it's so lyrically dense and so challenging.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, she's really turned me on to Sondheim. Because, like, I knew very little, you know, prior.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, he's the whole next level. And there's some badass shit.
Also, Assassins. Assassins, like, is completely insane. Like,
yeah,
with the lyrical density and also the subject matter.
Well, I'm assuming it's about assassins.
It's about, so, well,
maybe,
or not, apparently. Maybe what? Not.
Well, fair enough.
It's all, it's about all the successful and unsuccessful assassins throughout American history.
Oh, wow.
Who've tried to kill presidents.
Oh, wow.
It's really, really good.
So
does, like, John Wilkes Booth have, like, a breakdown, yes. like, song?
Absolutely, is, yes.
Oh, I'm in. I'm
oh, yeah. No, he's a major character in that. Yeah.
So, also, there was a revival of this show where Neil Patrick Harris...
Yes.
Yes.
Oh.
...was one of the main... voices in it.
I would love to see him in any musical. I know he did Hedwig as well, mm-hmm. Which I love Hedwig and the Angry Inch. I would have loved to see Neil Patrick Harris do Hedwig. He's got a hell of a voice. And he did Rent
voice
for, a bit
of an angel.
For a bit too, I think.
Yep,
right?
Yeah.
Does that musical hit close to home, buddy?
What? Which one? Rent?
No, Hedwig and the Angry
Oh,
Inch.
Yes, the Angry Inch. Dude, I wish.
I wish.
An inch? Wow.
What?
Yeah. There are people that start kind of in theater and then grow out of it to be like regular, you know, non-musical actors. Neil Patrick Harris is one of those. I think he started in theater. A lot of actors have started.
No, he started in TV. Like Doogie Howser.
Oh, yeah. But then he went into theater, and that's where he actually got, like, real acting chops.
That's where, he cut his fucking, like, you know, whatever.
I had teeth.
Yeah. So, yeah. He's a badass.
Yeah,
I love him.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think for me, like, most of my early musical was basically Disney. And I really didn't go to see any live shows till recently, actually, with my wife. Yeah. This one made there. But it's been, I love every time we go, even to the local ones around Richmond, it's still that they are very good performers. We've seen Lizzie Borden,
the musical.
That was really
nice. Awesome, because it wasn't actually a full
set.
Yeah. It was literally song after song. The whole thing was music. And
wow. They did a good job.
Live, it was like a rock show theater mix thing. It was, there wasn't really a set. It was awesome.
And Heather's was good.
Heather's was amazing and cute and adorable.
But, So far, my favorite live show, I mean, It was Hamilton. But the only major productions I've seen was Hamilton, and then it was Book of Mormon. So you can't really compare the two.
Those are, yeah, hard to kind of compare the two.
Now, right. I love Book of Mormon's fucking hysterical. Like, it's right at my funny bone.
That is the most fun I've ever had.
Oh, my God.
At a musical.
But favorite of all time, I think, or that got me into enjoying musicals that were more live action outside of animation. Because, you know, it is a different feel. When you're watching a cartoon and a bunch of singing, it's like, oh, it's Disney, whatever. It was probably Grease. I fucking love that movie as a kid. I mean, I love the play on the gangs with the leather jackets and the pompadours and the street racing and the stupid milk shop, all that shit.
Like, and the moment where they win the drag race and they give each other a hug and they're like, oh, that's too gay and so in this musical. And then they had to brush their hair.
Then they're like dry humping each other over a car. Like, there was a whole dance where they're like literally dry humping each other. It's great.
What's funny is, like, the Grease definitely has moments in it that are kind of problematic now because it's from a different era.
It doesn't translate, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you know, did she put up a fight is one of the lines. It's like, bro, that's not okay.
That would be like, did you ask for consent?
Yeah, tell me more, did you ask for consent? Oh, fuck yes, absolutely.
Guess what musical I don't want to see? Consent the Musical. Yeah. All right? Yeah. Like, I'm sorry, but, you know... Like, PC culture has gone too far.
Is this okay?
Or not.
Yeah.
But no, Grease, yeah, definitely is one that I caught when I was much younger. Rocky Horror was right along, followed suit around there as well.
I just didn't latch to that one as much as a lot of people. I liked it, but I didn't, like, see what... Everyone made a huge big deal out of it when I saw it. I was like, I mean, it's cool. Tim Curry's in drag. Okay. Like, they were just... Everyone was like, you'll never guess who he is later on. And I'm like... Well, that's Tim Curry, because I know what the fuck Tim Curry looks like. He's just wearing makeup and a wig. Well, see, all my friends made it his big deal that he was in drag. I'm like, okay.
I went on a few dates with this girl named Emily when I was 12, 13, like around there. And I hadn't really discovered Rocky Horror at that point. I was just getting into punk rock. And she was like, you haven't seen Rocky Horror. I'm going to like expose you to Rocky Horror. And I was like, thank you so much. Let's make out. And she's like, absolutely. So I have fond memories of my first time really. Yeah.
Okay.
She was like the theater chick, like hot, like edgy theater chick that had a drill instructor dad that she was like, fuck you, dad. I'm going to date a punk rocker. And he was like, he's very nice. And then she broke up with me. But as it happens. But yeah, that was like the beginnings of, you know, alterna theater chicks as being hi kind of thing.
You had a connection. Like, you got your dingle wet.
No.
Yeah.
I made out.
Oh, okay. I thought you had a smash.
Not at 12.
Whatever, dude.
I mean, I was 14 is when that started.
Okay. But, 2 years. Oh, yeah, God.
Yeah. I mean, 18. Did not kiss a girl until 18. Yes.
Mama Bickett, he did not kiss girls.
Yeah, I do not kiss girls, Mom.
I definitely don't kiss him on the mouth.
It's the pretty woman rules. I thought that's how you did things. Not in the mouth.
So, I guess, should we talk about different kinds of musicals?
Well, that's kind of where I was going, is that there was, from Grease and, you know, these TV versions that I saw that had stage productions as well, I also discovered stuff that was strictly via, like, movie, like Cannibal the Musical.
Right.
It was like a hard turn into like, oh, you can make musicals like fucking edgy and weird as shit. Besides Rocky Horror, but Rocky Horror had aged to a point where it was like not even edgy anymore. It was just Rocky Horror.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was still, you know, it's still a B-movie musical, basically, is what it is. But, you know, like, for instance, like my parents, who are ancient... you know, I love them, but they're old.
Wow.
You know.
God love, they are.
I mean, my dad was born in 1935. Let's just put it that way. You know, so, and he came to the States and, you know, he grew up during World War II and shit. So the kinds of movies that he ended up liking were stuff like South Pacific and, you know, The Music Man and stuff like that. Like he liked lighthearted fare.
Okay.
Because... you know, the world is a dark place, sort of situation. And obviously, those are not the musicals that I go for.
Or no.
Probably anyone in this room.
No, probably.
Maybe, I don't know, you know, but...
No, your wife likes a completely different fare.
Right, exactly. What, you don't like Oklahoma? Yeah, probably not.
No,
Annie, Get Your Gun.
I hate that I love Oklahoma.
No, that's fine if you do. I'm just saying, like, you know, like musicals, like, like it probably started with Grease, you know, where they, you know, they were watching movies like from the 50s and 60s with like Hepcats and you know, cool shit like that.
Yeah.
And they were like, let's make a fucking musical about it. And they did it. And it's still cool. It still holds up.
Yep.
You know, but definitely that's where you start to see like stuff like Rocky Horror coming out. And then like even further down the line, you've got Evil Dead, the musical and stuff like that, you know? So like, it's really become a mainstream sort of option.
Everything where there's song numbers and song and dance numbers in it is considered a musical, basically. And the difference between that and opera is that there's actual talking in a musical, whereas opera is just all songs, right?
Well, so opera is completely sung, but it's also, you know, classically, like, you know, orchestrated.
Okay.
The whole time through, where musicals can be rock and roll, they can be all kinds of stuff. But, you know, musicals don't necessarily have to stick to a particular format. Like, some musicals have a lot of interstitial dialogue, but something like Hamilton has like fucking 35, 40 songs because there's literally like,
Jesus,
there's like, there's like five lines in the whole goddamn show that's actually not sung.
How tired are they at the end of
the show? So tired.
Lin-Manuel Miranda must be on the best cocaine of all time. That's all I'm saying,
I mean,
man.
He can like, afford it.
No, that's shit. A huge fucking undertaking, like what he did, because everything was a song.
That's a lot. That's too much. Like, that's, I bitch about the amount of work that goes into doing this.
You know? Yeah.
Where we have no script. Like, we actually had a little bit that we had scripted with the singing this time, and I was like, it's so hard. The three songs we're going to do during this episode that... Mm-hmm. Only one of them is an original, completely original. The rest are a parody, and then one is straight up cover. And I'm, it's hard. This is difficult.
Yeah.
Lin-Manuel Miranda is like, yeah, fuck you. 40 songs. Boom.
I was like, and you're not dancing while you're singing it, right?
I know, right?
Honestly, it's that's crazy. Better for everyone in this room that I'm not dancing while we're singing.
And they're hip hop fucking. They're fucking rap songs, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like. I'm sorry. I'm way too white to understand how the fuck he did that shit. Just saying. Like, it's so fucking intricate. I'm like, nope.
Now all I want in my life is to see Groot's rap. Like, get, like, wiki, 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 and then just drop a fat rhyme.
It's probably not going to be a thing.
No,
but...
Yeah, we'll have to wait for the, you know, the eighth year episode, and we'll do the rap episode.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
The rap episode.
I'll embarrass myself.
I don't know, man. Five is a good number, too, so...
Yeah, I mean, that could be a next year thing.
I'm just saying.
I need a few years to, you know, like, get my shit together.
Not a few years.
Yeah, right.
Well, one thing I want to mention, we talked about movies that, like, musicals that were... You know, not translated from the theater to a movie, but movies are just made to be musicals. I mean, wouldn't Blues Brothers have been one of the earlier renditions of that? The modern musical that was just written.
I don't know if I really ever considered Blues Brothers to be a musical, though. So, I mean, there's musical numbers in it, but
disagree.
Yeah. Okay.
So this is something Jody might be able to weigh in on, actually, because there's a type of musical. I think it's called a jukebox musical, right? Isn't that what it's called?
Oh, like the American Idiot Green Day musical?
Where it's basically like, we saw one called Million Dollar Quartet, which was basically like, it was fine. I enjoyed it. I love fucking like 50s, 60s rock and roll. But anyway, Million Dollar Quartet was basically a musical set when Johnny Cash, Elvis Presley, The Killer, fucking Jerry Lee Lewis, and the guy who actually wrote Blue Suede Shoes, Carl Perkins, met up at the fucking Sun Records studio. They'd already had some fame, but they all met up together to record some shit, and they made a musical about it. So it's like, I was like classic music, and it was fun. Like, I had a good time.
No, but it's a musical, like, shaped around an actual event, but it's super stupid because it's just, and now we play this song, and now we play this song, well, now we play this song.
I love all those songs, so it was cool. It was fun. It's not my favorite musical ever, but I don't like despise it. But something like like Grease had original songs, but what were we just talking about?
Blues Brothers,
exactly. So that's a film adaptation jukebox musical where they're playing all these like soul songs in their characters from SNL. So it's kind of a hybrid sort of situation.
Okay, yeah, yeah. I would say. Hybrid. Yeah,
I would say.
Yeah. Okay.
Hybrid musical.
Hybrid musical.
It's a hybrid musical. Mm.
Yeah.
I just imagine like a musical becoming self-aware and then like combining with, I don't know, like a rock
that's
opera.
That's an AI musical. And then
they form this like unholy union and take over the world.
Oh, yeah. Lord.
Yeah. I know an interesting musical, and this is now currently one of my favorites that's newer. I guess it's in the last 8 years, where it was built around artist songs and they just wrote a story across the universe. Which was all the Beatles songs. So they basically just wrote an original screenplay around Beatles songs, which I thought was a really interesting take on a musical. You know,
yeah, sure.
So it actually fits everything that's going on in the story. You know, the song is pertinent to that particular scene, and I really like that. And I like the Beatles, so that helps.
Just the music was created first, and then the screenplay was written around the music instead of vice versa, where the storyline comes first and the music fits it.
Yeah. Right.
I really like that. It was a cool take on.
Now, I guess it would probably fall under jukebox musical then if you have, like, say, a biopic where there's a lot of musical numbers on stage as they're performing them during the actual movie, like, let's say, Bohemian Rhapsody, where they're doing songs during that movie. But it's actually just, like, this part of the history
of the band.
It
might not be so much a musical in the sense that, like, obviously that's a biographical, you know, film about a band sort of scenario. Now, usually at least a film musical will break of like the fourth wall or something like that from time to time.
Yeah.
You know, and kind of like take you into the musical experience. So I would say like something like Bohemian Rhapsody or Walk the Line wouldn't really classify it as a musical.
Okay. Yeah. I never really thought of them as musicals, but as we're trying to actually get the definitions down.
Right.
I just wanted to.
Yeah,
check,
I mean, there's been a lot of those movies like that. Yeah, I mean, you've got Walk the Line, Ray, Bohemian Rhapsody. Like, all those movies, you're right, they're playing their music throughout it, but it is a biopic, and it's about a musician.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
So versus The Who's Tommy.
Yes, Tommy is a rock opera.
Oh, it's so good. I love it so much.
That shit is bananas.
Yeah.
And it holds up. It's so fucking crazy.
Well, because it's, like, timeless and wild.
The fucking wall.
The Wall.
The Wall.
Yep. The Wall. Yes.
It's a rock opera. They put it together. Oh, God damn it. It's awesome. I love both those movies. Different reasons, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But both fucking bonkers. A dude going crazy in his hotel room. Yeah.
Dude, Tina Turner and Tommy.
Yeah.
What?
Elton John and Tommy. It's fucking right? Stilts.
Yeah. And Margaret with the beans and Tommy.
Exactly. Rolling beans. Around in beans.
That just sounds like something out of a David Lynch movie.
it got there.
Yeah.
I bet Pete Townsend thought of that because he's fucking freak. He's creepy.
There's a whole sequence in Tommy where Eric Clapton is like playing. He's like the priest of like Marilyn Monroe Church.
Yeah.
Mm. What the fuck balls?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's some crazy shit right there.
But when you make a musical out of your concept album in from the 70s, there's a whole lot happening back then.
LSD. Always going to go back to LSD.
Pretty Jesus much, yeah. Christ. But that's a good place for us to stop for our break. We're already at the half for Geeks Under the Influence. So when we come back, we'll get into what we're drinking, Drunken Scene, and which will be musical, and deeper dig into some of our favorite musical shows and movies and the like. So stick around. We'll be right back. This is Mike the Hobbit, direct from Fallout on a trivia night, telling you to come here every first and third Monday for trivia between 8 and 10, 25-cent wings, drink specials, prizes, and tons of really inappropriate trivia. It's a lot of fun. Do you guys agree? Definitely come out and enjoy trivia every first and third Monday at Fallout. Booze Clues Episode 2 is recording on May 5th. That's right, Cinco de Mayo. You can come out and enjoy some drunken, debaucherous headlines with Booze Clues. Same place, the Dark Room, 2818 West Broad Street, Suite B. It's an upstairs room, and we're going to have signs with arrows pointing you right into the room. Doors are at 6, show starts at 7, and it's free. So if you're 21 or up, come out May 5th from 6 to 8 o'clock to check out Booze Clues Live. Also coming up on the Geeks Under the Influence Network at the end of May, May 31st through June 2nd, GalaxyCon. You've probably been seeing posts on social media about GalaxyCon, the newest convention to come to Richmond, Virginia, and they have a stacked deck of celebrities. In addition to all these amazing celebrities that you can come and meet, get autographs, get pictures with. You can also come out and check out four shows from the Geeks Under the Influence Network. We've got the Geeks Under the Influence podcast, Smack My Pitch Up, Beautiful Disasters, and Geek Father, all doing live shows at GalaxyCon from May 31st to June 2nd. As the schedule comes out, we'll let you know what times and what rooms these shows are going to be taking place in. And come out, you can see some of the podcasts on our network do their thing live. So if you've enjoyed Booze Clues, if you came out to our first show, or you plan on coming out to our second show, or some in the future, this is a chance to check out other shows on the network doing their thing live. I'll be hosting Smack My Pitch Up and Geeks Under the Influence, and it's going to be a heck of a good time. I'll also be paneling a Adventures in Podcasting panel all about starting your own podcast. So if you're interested in doing this thing, then come out and get some pointers from people that are already doing it. It's going to be a great time, May 31st through June 2nd. Check your calendar and check out GUIPodcast.com for more information on Booze Clues events, GalaxyCon, and much more from Geeks Under the Influence. We're back for the second half of our musicals episode, our four-year anniversary episode of Geeks Under the Influence. It's been a lot of fun so far, and I apologize to your ears for what you've had to handle up to this point. It's only going to get worse. And before we get into the rest of this, let's talk about our sponsors a little bit that help us get on with this shit show. First up, of course, is Amazon.com. They've been with us forever. So if you want to get the soundtracks to some Sondheim stuff, or you want to get your own personal copy of Repo the Genetic Opera, or Grease, or any of the musicals that turned into movies, like Chicago.
Oh, maybe. Such a good movie.
Yeah, great movie.
Fuck, I want to see that live.
You know it's not a good movie?
What's that?
Moulin fucking Rouge. I hate that movie.
Yeah, fuck that movie.
I hate that movie.
I gotta agree with that. Fuck that movie.
Full made us upset.
We actually got to see Chicago. And
oh, you bastard.
Fucking
Brandy.
Brandy.
The artist, like, from the
Brandy
90s, Brandy?
Like 90s,
yeah, R.B. Brandy. Yeah. Yeah, she was in it.
That
what?
Is
I know. What? It was nuts.
Nice.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, if you want to get Chicago or anything else, just make sure you do it through the link at GUIPodcast.com. Go to the top right corner, click that link, and anything you purchase through that link, we get money for it. So you're spending the same amount on your sweet, sweet fucking music jams, but we get a little bit of that as well. So way to help out the podcast without actually spending any additional money to help us out. So you get cool shit, and we get money because you get cool shit. So.
Minimum effort.
Minimum effort. Basically, yes. One way for you to get cool shit as well, but also rep some Geeks Under the Influence Network stuff, is going through TeePublic. I absolutely love that we teamed up with TeePublic. We got some really fucking rad designs on TeePublic. I just recently got in the mail our Bilbo WK Journey Hard shirt. It's got Bilbo yeah. Baggins with the bloody nose like Andrew W.K., and it's fucking hilarious. I love it so much.
That's awesome.
We just did a Manhattan development where it's Tobias as Dr. Manhattan from The Watchmen with his never nude shorts, jean shorts on. That's a pretty red shirt.
It's a fun time.
You didn't want to have a swinging dong on your t-shirt?
Well, I mean, it's Tobias, so he's never nude, so he's got to wear them tight jean shorts. But there's logos or shirts for all the different podcasts on the network. We're going to be dropping a Booze Clues design shirt along with the release of our first episode of Booze Clues coming out. So check that out. And
yeah,
there's sales all the time at TeePublic for the $20 shirts going down to like $13-14. So definitely check that out. We have a link, GUIPodcast.com/store, to check out our TeePublic store. And yeah, that's our sponsors.
Yep.
So yeah, one other thing we do when we get back from break is talking about what we're drinking. Cue it, Kyle.
Hey, we're fucking drinking. We're getting drunk. You want to know? Well, here you go. Hey.
Yay, Kyle.
Oh, Kyle.
Never gets old.
Yeah. So, damn. Mr. Lowdown was nice enough to bring us a tasty little beverage from Hardywood. What are we sipping on this evening?
We are sipping on the limited Hardywood Coconut Cassowary. It's an Imperial Milk Stout with coconut. Whew. Figure.
It's got some volume to it.
It's
like, this is a heavy beer.
Oh, yeah. It's dark fruits and leather and toffee and almond and all kinds of sexiness.
Looks like motor oil.
It's really thick. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what she said.
It's got legs.
It's got a third leg.
What's the ABV on this bad boy?
It is 11%.
11%, or so, just like Hardywood in general.
Yeah, pretty much everything Hardywood does is just
go Hardywood or go home.
Yeah,
yeah, no shit.
In an Uber.
I'm to understand that's not sessionable.
It is not.
No,
okay. I need to split this.
Okay.
No, I don't want to drink this whole thing.
Okay.
No.
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 You take down an 11% bottle of Hardywood and you're going to be feeling that 11%. Choice.
Yes. Pretty rough. Very fucking rough.
It looks like Jello. So.
A little. I mean, it's not quite Jello viscosity, like, but it's it? Definitely got some heft. You want to give this a
sippy sip? Oh, here we go.
Oh, yes. I missed the Jody trying beer. Oh, our listeners are not getting this face, and it's unfortunate. It's so good. Oh, that's extra good.
It tastes like beer.
it tastes like beer.
Oh, that's so good. It just reminds me of when I was a kid, apparently I had a babysitter that kept feeding me cranberries because I made a weird face, and that's what Jody's doing right now with the beer.
There you go.
I don't like it.
Yeah, it's like a little kid, the first time you try broccoli, like,
Yeah. I think I saw a video once where, like, a parent gave, like, their kid, like, a lemon slice or something.
Yeah.
And it's just funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just like, funny.
So what else is being sipped on this evening? Jody, what are you sipping on this evening?
So Anthony now works at a an off-brand grocery chain.
Okay.
So he brought me a cider called Feisty Farmer, which I feel is the Dr. Thunder of ciders.
Right. Sounds Angry like Orchard. A dating site or
Angry Orchard is what it's like.
It's the new Tinder. Exactly.
Farmer.
It's Tinder for just farmers.
Yes, thefeistyfarmer.com.
No, it's farmers that like a kink.
Yeah, I'm drinking trash cider.
Is it tasty?
It's fine.
It's something. It's something, apparently.
Well, there you go.
It's not great.
Is it dry? Is it sweet? Is it just...
It's just trashy.
It's just trashy. I mean, it's too sweet and not very flavorful.
It's a little bit sweet and not great.
Are you drinking the wine coolers of ciders?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's happening.
Some Seagrams. Yeah,
right. It was free.
I got some Boone's.
Whatever.
Yeah, Boone's Farm of Ciders.
Groots, you're sipping on some tasty beverage over there as well.
Yes. Yeah. I've brought back an old favorite, the Hellcat Maggie.
Hellcat Maggie.
A nice Irish whiskey, aged in bourbon barrels. It's delicious and affordable. Go check it out.
Heck yeah.
I like it.
It is good. Yeah, the first time I tried it.
Especially for the price.
Yeah.
It's fucking tasty.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet. Well, now, bum, 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 we're getting to the next musical part of our episode. We normally do a thing called Making a Drunken Scene, but this is the musical episode, so we're doing Making a Drunken Scene.
Making a Drunken Scene.
For this one, we decided to do from a musical episode of a TV show that is beloved to me and a few of the panelists on this episode. We're doing I've Got a Theory from the Buffy musical known as Once More with Feeling. That was from season, was it six?
Yeah, I think so. Five or six.
It was five or six, that the episode where a demon comes into Sunnydale and makes everybody sing and dance until they die, basically. That's the plot.
It's legitimately one of the best episodes I ever made.
It's real good. It's real fucking good. So we're going to do I've Got a Theory. So Giles is going to be played by...
I'm Giles.
Groots is Giles. Then we got Willow.
Yo.
That's low down. Xander will be played by myself. Then we've got Anya. Anyanka, played by Yankee Blue Jeans.
I'm told that's me.
That is you. I'm excited about the bunnies.
Who's Buffy?
Me.
You Buffy?
I'm Buffy.
You got this, yeah?
Because I'm Buff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is true.
That's perfect.
Oh, yeah, that worked.
Well, perfect.
So I'm so proud of you right now.
Well done. You're welcome.
And then Willow. Who do we have for Willow?
That's me.
That's also you? Okay. Yeah.
So popular, baby.
Talked about that. Yeah. I'm Tara, the one we didn't mention yet.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, one.
And Tara. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, that's what we're doing. So, totally. Cue up the music here.
I've got a theory that it's a demon, a dancing demon. No, something isn't right here.
I've got a theory, some kid is dreaming, and we're all stuck inside his wacky Broadway nightmare.
I've got a theory, we should work this out.
It's getting eerie, what's this cheery singing all about?
It could be witches, some evil witches, which is ridiculous, because witches, they were persecuted, wicked good, and love the earth and women power, and I'll be over here.
I've got a theory, it could be bunnies.
I've got a theory, bunnies are just cute like everyone. Everybody supposes they got them puppy legs and twitchy little noses. And what's with all the carrots? What do they need such good eyesight for anyway? Bunnies, bunnies, that must be bunnies. Or maybe midgets.
I got a theory, we should work this fast. Because it clearly could get serious before it's passed.
I've got a theory, it doesn't matter. Why can't we face if we're together? What's in this place that we can't weather? Apocalypse. We've all been there, the same old trips. Why should we care?
What can't we do if we get in it? We'll work it through within a minute. We have to try, we'll pay the price. It's do or die.
Okay, yes. Nailed it.
Holy shit.
God.
Damn it.
Better than the original.
So
I mean, probably. I mean, the original
wasn't.
I just sang
backup. That was great.
What the fuck? I'm so happy that there's still somebody out there listening to this.
No shit.
I appreciate you guys so much.
Oh, God. Ugh.
You did all right. Great, girl.
Thanks, girl.
So back into the musical discussion of this episode. So I hope you've enjoyed two of the three songs that we are rocking out to.
Please put some cotton in your ears for the bleeding.
For the bleeding that is probably bleeding. Occurring. Yeah, absolutely. Musical episodes. With Buffy, the musical episode that we were just talking about, there's been a number of shows that have had musical episodes. One that we were talking about, and I know Lowdown probably is going to bring up right now.
Supernatural.
Yep.
200th episode was a musical. It was awesome.
Nice.
It was a musical about, because it's set up in the show that they have a series of books that are literally, were written by a prophet, but it's telling the story of the Winchesters. So they end up making, a high school end up making a musical rendition of these novels. So they had a couple songs they showed throughout the show that were just part of the story. And then at the end, there's a reoccurring song that happens on the finale of every season of the show that shows the preview of the whole season leading up to this episode, and it's Carry On My Wayward Sons. So they do a really slowed down, dramatic version of the song. And I'm not going to lie, I brought a tear to my eye because I'm like, I've been watching this show for so long. It was a 200th episode, and like there was some other emotional shit that happened in the show, and I started to cry like a little bitch, but it was awesome. Because that song done slow and dramatic, it actually makes it so much more powerful because the original one's kind of hokey a little bit.
True, yeah. All right.
The lyrics to that are really strong when you hear it in that format.
So that's
that was
fair.
It was really good.
That's fucking fair, man.
Hell yeah. Another one is The Flash had a musical episode.
Oh, God, yeah.
That was a lot of fun. And part of that is because a number of the actors that were in that show actually come from a musical background. Like
Melissa Benoist.
Yeah, she...
Did I pronounce that right?
Benoist? I would say Benoit, but I know that's not correct.
Yeah. But Supergirl, she was in Glee, yeah. And she was on Broadway. Grant Gustin.
Okay.
He was from Glee.
Cisco was on Broadway.
And then...
Joe,
he was actually in the movie version of Rent.
Oh, John Barrowman has been on Broadway.
Oh, yeah, John Barrowman's been on Broadway as well,
And then Wynn from Supergirl is in Newsies. We actually watched the Newsies where he was the main... He was Christian Bale's character.
Nice.
And, it was on Netflix. We watched it. He fucking kills it. Right?
Talk about a good like film like musical too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's funny that The Flash, like most of the main cast, it comes from a very musical background.
It's crazy. Like how
that's
much
cool,
fucking
man.
Talents on that show.
Oh hell yeah.
Yeah.
But imagine being able to be a good actor and also just be like, oh, by the way, I can fucking wail. Like just knock it out of the park out of nowhere like a superpower on its own right.
Honestly, speaking of that particular episode, I think the most impressed I was for like a shock value and wow factor was probably, I can't remember the actor's name, but Wynn from Supergirl. That motherfucker turned around on the piano and just like was nasty.
Yeah.
Like,
nice.
He's awesome. So if you go back and watch his Newsies, you'll see what I'm talking about. That dude can fucking sing his ass off. It was
awesome.
That's
amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
another one that it's not really an episode of TV, but it's definitely related to the Buffy musical that we just sang, was what one of the best things that came from the writer's strike was a little thing called Dr. Horrible's motherfucking sing-along blog. It's one of the greatest things of all time. You can emote, Jody. It's okay. You might have feelings about this.
Oh, I feel so strongly. It's so good.
It's so beyond good. It's Neil Patrick Harris and my future ex-wife, Felicia Day. My future ex-husband, Nathan Fillion.
Nathan Fillion is so much in this.
He is being absurdly extra in Dr. Horrible.
He's so extra. It's so good.
And he does it so well. Like, not in a way that you think he's that way in real life, more that just he knows how to just chew the scenery as a douchebag.
Yep.
Yes.
I think that's one of the greatest things that ever came out on the internet.
On the internet, period, yeah.
Because it wasn't like a thing that was, you know, on a network or anything like that. You know, this was designed to be released and was so fucking good.
And I don't know if they had like mentioned that it was coming out beforehand, but it, for me, came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Just one day it was there.
Yeah.
Right.
No, it just dropped.
Yeah. It just dropped like, oh, by the way, here's this fucking amazing thing you'll get obsessed with and possibly do cosplay as Grutas.
I definitely did.
Oh, I have too. I dressed as Captain Hammer as well.
Yeah. Fucking Halloween that one year. Yeah. I had the red freaking like Dr. Horrible, like, you know, suit on.
Yep.
You were Captain Hammer.
I had the Captain Hammer shirt, dude, which I've spent far less on my costume than you did on yours.
True story. When I was evaluating Anthony as a possible suitor, I did look at his like Facebook photos. And when I saw that he had Dr. Horrible cosplayed, it was points for him.
Yeah, I would say so. I can imagine.
You know, it's the little things that help.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but Dr. Horrible, it was one of those that I adamantly suggest that if you've not gotten the DVD or Blu-ray copy of it, I know that you can find it on the internet, but get that for one specific reason. The audio commentary, there is a musical audio commentary where they literally do musical numbers while doing the audio commentary of the musical Dr. Horrible sing-along blog.
It's so good.
Everything about that. And for some period of time in Norfolk, they had a yearly thing where they would screen Serenity and play Dr. Horrible front to back in a theater at the Narrow Theater. They haven't done it in a couple years, I think, but God damn, man, that was so much fun.
It was amazing to scream all the words to Dr. Horrible with like a whole crowd nerds
doing the same thing. Oh. Yeah,
dude, it was, it was like the nerdier version of seeing like a live Rocky Horror at the theater, you know?
Yeah. The audio commentary on it, there's a song called I'm Better Than Neil where, Nathan Fillion sings about how he's way better than Neil Patrick Harris. And then they've got a song called $10 Solo where the side character paid Joss Whedon $10 to have a musical number on the audio commentary. And then another extra that lisps really hard sings about his lisps in the audio commentary.
That guy?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's brilliant.
Oh, yeah. We might have to do that when we get home.
Now I kind of want to watch it too.
I kind of want to watch it again. You mentioned Neil Patrick Harris again.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's already come up before. Yeah. But I have to say that, like, some of the most fun internet videos to watch are him, like, with his musical numbers, like, hosting the Tony Awards. Because he's hosted a bunch of times now. But he has these, like, the crazy, like, opening number to, like, open the show. Like, fuck the Oscars, man. The Oscars is lame as fuck. The
Oscars are bullshit, man.
They are dumb. The Tonys is where it's at, man, because that shit is hilarious. And they even had one year, it was like, because he and Hugh Jackman had like hosted a couple years on and off. So they had like a duel, musical number one year. And that shit was fucking hilarious.
Now, what is the term for when you have an Oscar, a Tony, and...
It's like an
EGOT.
EGOT. Yeah.
It's Emmy, Grammy,
EGOT,
Oscar, Tony.
Yeah, that's what
there
it is.
Yeah. Yeah, there it is. It's all So I think Lady Gaga's probably going to be close.
Yeah.
So. Fuck you, Lynn.
Did he already get it? No, he hasn't got it yet.
Lynn has already gotten it. So, Lynn needs to get it before
what
anyone
did Lady
else
Gaga
does.
Get it for?
What
is she going to get an Oscar for?
A Star is Born.
It's a fourth fucking remake of that movie. Fuck you. You don't deserve a goddamn Oscar for that shit.
That's right. She didn't get. No, she did get the Oscar for it.
Yeah, she did get an Oscar.
She did get the Oscar for Best Supporting.
The fucking movie. Oh God,
was it Best Supporting or was it Best Song?
Maybe it was Best Song.
It might have been Best Song.
Her and Bradley Cooper did the fucking song.
But she now has an Oscar.
Yeah.
So she's on her way.
Her and 3-6 Mafia have an Oscar. I always bring that up because I fucking love it. Like, that's not making fun of. It's just like fucking 3-6 Mafia has a fucking Oscar.
What'd she get the Emmy for? American Horror Story.
Maybe.
TV, right?
So. I don't know if she has.
Oh, okay.
But she's got to be getting close at this point because she's, you know, whatever. Anyway, I figured it was probably cool. We already talked a little bit about our, like, favorite musicals and stuff. But
well,
we
talked about musicals that got us started enjoying musicals, but I don't think we've really gone over what we've come to appreciate now as our favorites.
So, well, I can definitely say that my first foray... my mother took my younger brothers and I to this small production that was in London back when we were kids, and it was the most fucking bananas musical, and it probably shaped my future, like, tastes, because it's basically a sci-fi B-movie version of Shakespeare's The Tempest set to 1960s rock and roll, where all the actors are on roller skates and playing their own instruments. It was called Return to the Forbidden Planet. And that shit was so fucking cool. I was a kid and I was blown the fuck away. We had the cassette tape of the recording, the cast recording.
Yeah.
Wore that fucker out.
It sounds like maybe that completely formed your entire personality.
It might have.
I mean, if you hadn't watched that, you would have been an accountant that listened to fucking like John Mayer
or Steely Dan.
Or Steely Dan.
Oh, God. Don't be so dark, Mike.
So I guess what I'm saying is...
But you don't want him to sing an acoustic cover of Your Body is a Wonderland?
I guess what I'm saying is thanks, Mom.
Yeah, right.
All right. There's that.
That is solid. It's hard for me to narrow down what I would say is probably my favorite musical, because that's tough. I was obsessed with Repo: The Genetic Opera when it first came out.
Dude.
Like, super hard.
Anthony Stewart Head again.
Anthony Stewart Head being evil as fuck.
What?
Just killing it on the songs, man. Like, his songs were the best in that show.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Although, well, was it Michelle Brightman, who was the actual, like, classically trained, like, opera singer that was in it that also was fantastic? Yeah, Repo fucking killed it for me, but I don't know if I could say that's my favorite musical of all time. That's pushing it.
No, it's not mine.
Yeah, I'd have to say probably American Idiot, the Green Day Broadway musical.
I would say, like, it definitely is hard. Like, even, you know, you have things that trigger memories as a child, or like your first musical or first show you've seen, but narrowing down, like, an absolute favorite, I mean, for me, it's like movies. I can't pick a favorite movie because different genres, different, you know, different vibes, different storylines, like, every, I think pieces of certain things are favorites, but I don't think I could pick a favorite.
What's your favorite musical Disney animated film?
Oh, duh.
Animated film?
Yeah. That counts as a musical.
No, it's like, you should, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, do I have to say it out loud? Like, yeah, I mean, look at her face. That's so cute. Little Mermaid.
Yeah, I mean, I knew that's what it was, but for our listeners.
Little Mermaid.
Yeah,
I have seen a few Broadway productions of Disney. Beauty and the Beast was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I didn't realize they did Beauty and the Beast, but that makes sense. Yeah, I know The Lion King was huge when it first came out.
That's coming back around Richmond.
Yeah, that's on the list.
Yeah, okay. That's on the fucking list.
That's been, I mean, that was one of the most successful musicals of all time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I'm really stoked to see that.
I will say, just from the music that I've heard from this musical, and I've not actually had the opportunity to see it yet, is I have a feeling if I saw it, Book of Mormon would probably jump to the tippy top.
Oh, you love it.
The tippy top of my list.
Book of Mormon is so good.
It's kind of hilarious.
All right, so the day after my bachelor party, which he threw, by the way,
yes,
which was awesome.
I was there.
we drove up to D.C.
No, I drove.
Well, yeah,
you drove. I would hope so.
No, yeah, I was fucking dead sword.
Completely thrashed.
Yeah, and... I was in a bad way because, I mean, you know, it was an awesome bachelor party. Thanks.
I got you right to the brink where I don't think you puked, but you got right up to.
Oh, yeah. No,
it was
an experience. Mm. So we get to the Kennedy Center and I have no idea what to expect other than the fact that the South Park guys made this musical happen.
So you know there's going to be some absurdity.
With the guy from Avenue Q.
Mm-hmm.
So again,
which is
bitch,
a perfect,
please.
I mean, come on.
We have
talk
not
about,
even discussed Avenue
yeah,
Q.
True.
You talk about collaboration. I mean, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. The Kennedy Center is a nice venue. There's a lot of people that have subscriptions for the whole season sort of thing. So they're in for all the shows and they might not understand what's going on with any particular show. So we get to a point in the musical where it goes super crass and vulgar.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, fuck you, God, in the ass, mouth, and cunt.
Yeah.
Yes.
That kind of vulgar. Okay. Now, it's fucking hilarious. Yeah. Like, it is so on point hilarious, but I can tell you that the two people that were sitting to my right did not come back after the intermission. That shit, I was gut laughing so hard. I was so hungover. It was the best fucking experience I've ever had in a musical. It was so fucking badass.
Hell the yeah. people near us were so fucking not into it. Like, it was super funny.
That's
they
fantastic.
Were very angry.
So I will say, just for the listeners, if you have not gone to see that or read anything about it or, you know, really know how in-depth that is, that's what you can expect. But it's not like they're saying that aggressively.
No.
They're saying it with smiles on their faces, and they're very jovial, and they're very happy about telling God to basically go fuck himself. It's fucking hilarious.
Here's the thing. Like, it actually paints the Mormon faith in a very, like, representative light. Like,
it's positive.
It is very positive. Like, they're not being assholes.
No, and that's what I want to get across. Like, the song isn't written, like, aggressively, like, you know.
But the greatest, like, achievement of that musical is that there's a musical within the musical that they do towards the end, which is,
oh God,
just like it's like the African, like, converts doing a musical for, like, Mormon elders coming to see them. Oh my God.
Wow. That's some Inception shit, right?
Jody,
there.
You should talk about that.
No, I don't have anything to say except for that. It's amazing.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Oh, layers of racial
magic.
Well, I was like, yeah,
layers. Magic fuck frogs.
Layers.
Sorry.
I also, like, did not know what to expect except that, like, it was going to be good. And everyone's like, you know, it's good, but, like, you know, it's good. And but it's not for kids. And I'm like, okay. So Lowdown and I went, and was that your first one?
Yes.
Because I was like, this is great. Like, this is, like, the best introduction for him to musicals ever, because they're like, you know, it's,
she's not wrong.
Super not, super not what you take your grandma to. Like,
no,
I was like, so when that song came on, like, that was like the turning point where you're like, oh smack, this is like a whole nother level of crazy and awesome. And I was just, my jaw hit the floor, and I'm like, did they just say, oh my God, they did. And this is, like, hilarious. And I
did say, fuck you,
did.
God, in the ass mouth.
Yes.
Times.
And I was like, oh my God. And I'm like, kind of looking around at, like, who's around us. Like, are these people feeling like, I'm offended, but it's not, like, I'm not offended. Like, this is hilarious. And I was just so excited that, like, I remember I was like, that's his first one. And this is the gateway. This was his gateway musical.
Yeah, right. Your weed.
It was my weed. But no, so okay. Touching on what Groots talked about, where it's leading up to, they're performing a play for the senior or Mormons to perform in front of them. What that showed to me, though, and it was done in a very comedic stance, because the whole thing is a statement on Mormonism and or evangelism in general, or going missionary work, right? And so what that showed to me was they did a really good job of showing how the issues with translation comes across as fucking retarded. And, like, that's what that whole thing was playing on, right? It's like, these people literally have no... they don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Who's this fucking God? Who are you talking about? They have no idea.
Right.
Right? And that's why it was so hilarious to me, is because exactly. That's exactly what I think.
The, you know? The look on people's faces, you know, when some of these songs really hit... Hasadik Eboi, especially.
Yeah. Yes.
When I started looking around, I was expecting, I was looking to see if people's faces were like when Mel Brooks did in the producers, Springtime for Hitler.
Yes.
And you've got that shot in the movie where everyone's just like agape, like, because he's just like, springtime for Hitler and Germany. And it's just like, and honestly, that's one of the funniest movies ever. And of course, Mel Brooks obviously brings his fucking like musical game.
Oh, A game.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
You know, A game for
he adds a little bit of musical in almost every one of his movies.
Just about, yeah.
I was going to say, that's a good tie into History of the World.
Yeah.
Dude.
Men in Tights. Even Spaceballs has a musical number.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's just, dude. Yeah, he brings his A game to that. But like, you know, like the offensive, you know, hilariously offensive. Oh, my God.
But it's a statement on truth. It's a statement on the truth of it. You know?
And I think that's what I was going to say is like, it's about like taking something that's real or something that we're struggling with and like turning it into like a song and dance, like, you know, you can say fuck God, you can say, you can make, talk about racism, you can talk about sexism, you can talk about poverty levels and, you know, socioeconomic things, and you can say shit you want to say, but you add a song and a dance to it, and everyone's like, yeah, that's awesome.
It's like, I love that scene in Cats where they say God is dead. That's my favorite part of Cats is...
Well, we very briefly talked about Avenue Q.
Yeah.
I love Avenue Q. It is so basic in that it speaks to like things that everyone's dealt with. What do you do with a BA in English, right? Nothing. Yeah.
Tell me, girl. You got one.
The internet is about porn. Like, it's all so basic and it's also like attainable.
Everyone's like, a little bit racist.
Everyone's a little bit racist. Yes.
So our son is super into musicals, and he is super into Dear Evan Hansen right now. And there's a song in that musical, because I've heard every song ever because we listened to it in the car all the time, about the mom singing about basically like, I don't know what the whole song is her singing about. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. She doesn't say fuck in the song. But it's like basically like she's like, yeah, I'm fucking winging it. Like, we're just doing this thing. And like, that is like legit motherhood. Like, you have no idea what you're doing. You just like hope you don't make a serial killer. And like, if you don't, if they stay off the pole, they don't kill anyone or go to jail, like you did okay. And like, that is what the song is about. But that's just real life struggles that you like, you know, put song and dance to. Yeah. And it's like, I relate to that because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing either, girl. It's okay.
So I have like 9 musicals that we haven't talked about.
Yes. Okay. That, yes. Lay it out so we don't get the musical theater.
Lay them down, baby.
But do we want to talk about Hamilton?
Alexander Hamilton.
I feel like everyone here but Mike has seen it. So.
For you.
I mean,
yeah, I'm the only one that hasn't seen Hamilton at this point in this room. Ooh. So, yeah. And I think Book of Mormon as well. So,
Book of Mormon.
We got things to do.
Yeah.
Hobbit.
What is it? Okay, get me a girlfriend that likes musicals, and then I'll have a reason to go see a freaking
you
musical.
You got one. His name is Lowdown.
That's true.
That is true. I mean, we could all go see it and have a big old menage a trois for Hamilton.
I would 100% go to a musical with you.
I'll go to a musical with you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
I'll start off, Jody. So, okay, the big thing about Hamilton for me was, A, I had already gotten into live musical productions, right? But I am a huge, like, lover of just history. Like, my brain's a sponge. I like to read about past to understand the present and then work for the future. I firmly believe in that. And I feel like, dude, man, and whole, you know, no holds barred, like, no, this is shit that happened. Like, some fucked up shit happened. People were a little backstabbing going on. There was some, you know, some turncoat shit. Like, that's the portrayal that I want. I want the realness. And I think he did the best that he could with making it modern. He didn't make a traditional musical. Like I said, it's mostly hip-hop, which, again, is one of the first of its kind. That's like the topics and what it's about versus the music style is a huge clash, and it's done so well.
I was really actually blown away. Like, I had already heard a lot of the songs for months and months on repeat in every car ride, and
I can't imagine that to be true.
And on YouTube in the bedroom, and I was like, God. But actually seeing live,
how many times have you guys boned to Hamilton?
I was
soundtrack?
Thinking that. Yeah.
I don't even know. I don't. I
well, a props. B, like, that's where do you actually work to the rhythm of the songs?
I was like, can I be in the room where when it happens?
I mean, Dude, I'm sorry. I'm white. I'm not. I don't have that much rhythm. So
yeah, when you're humping to the rhythm of really fast hip hop,
but you know, I mean, definitely
you can't keep up.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I hearing all the songs recorded or on YouTube is different. You see them live. Oh my God. The thing that really fucking impressed me with the actual show was two things. The choreography was so fucking on point for every bit of the almost 3 hours of the damn show, like 2.5 hours. Like everything was like on point. Everybody was in the right space. They all moved the right way. Like everything was awesome. And the simple fact that there was no interstitial dialogue or exposition, it just went from song to song to song to song. Then Lin-Manuel Miranda is a fucking badass.
Yeah.
I think my thing too was like, yeah, the flow of it. Like, you're like, I know I've been sitting here for a very long time, but I'm completely entertained. And you know, if you know anything about the story, you know when it's kind of coming to an end. And I didn't want it to be over. And I'm like, we've been here like 3 fucking hours, but I'm still not ready for it to be done. Like, it is. You want to talk about incaptivating? Your eyes don't leave the stage because you're trying to absorb everything that's going on. And the level of talent is just, it's mind-blowing.
Like, I just cried and cried.
I cried too. I cried. Of course, I cried when at the end. But
we will not ruin.
We won't.
Unless you know your history. Yeah, sorry. I mean, it's history.
You might know he dies.
There's no secrets. Spoilers to the story of Alexander Hamilton. This isn't something came out in the theaters a week ago.
Like, I mean, they did kind of like mention it in the first fucking song, like what happens.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I will say though, and then it touches back on what I said previously, that you kind of have to dig a little deeper than what they will just teach you about this era. And that's what he did. He pulled out some really deeper facts about what was actually going on and with the fathers of our country at the time versus what they would just shovel down your throat in history class, which is basically bullshit fucking cliff notes now. So that's what I appreciate about it too. You know?
Oh yeah.
Hell yeah.
Now, we are getting right towards the end. So Jody, you did say that we didn't touch base on a couple of musicals. What are we missing on here?
Everything Stephen Sondheim has ever done.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, we talked about the him, but not actually like
Into the Woods, Assassins, Company.
What's your top five? Like, so you got three right there. Into the Woods, Assassins, Company.
Was Fun Home a Sondheim jam?
No, Fun Home, it's not a Sondheim jam, but can we talk about Fun Home?
You can.
Real quick.
You can talk about Fun Home.
She got real excited about that.
Fun Home is one of my favorite musicals of all time. It's written by Alison Bechdel, who the of Bechdel test fame. Do you know this?
No. She made a graphic novel. She's like a comic book graphic novel.
Awesome.
Yeah.
But the Bechdel test, can you explain that?
Yeah, the Bechdel test, it's basically a method for viewing movies as to whether they are sexist or not.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of like a feminist test to see about a movie. It's like...
Is it like a checklist?
Kind of.
Oh,
yeah,
cool.
It's like, are there two female main characters? Like, are they talking about things other than dudes? Mm. Like, do they have names? You know, stuff like that.
Did the girl in the red dress.
Did she put up a fight?
Right. So,
basically.
Yeah.
So this musical is about her growing up living in a funeral home.
Nice.
Okay.
And her father was closeted gay.
I was hoping you were going to say zombie.
No.
It's far more interesting.
He was a closeted homosexual, and so...
Or Dracula.
Yeah. It's
you could be a gay Dracula.
Yeah?
I think that's allowed.
Right? Okay. Fair.
I mean, there's the whole like Brad Pitt, Tom Cruise thing and Interview with a Vampire.
Well, there's a total thing going on there.
And then you had freaking Antonio Banderas come in. He was like, oh, yeah.
Antonio Banderas?
Vampire Mod.
Banderas. It was like, hey, Brad Pitt.
Doesn't he do like a Lego commercial or some shit? It was a B now. Isn't that his thing?
Yeah, he's a fucking bee now. Yeah.
Fucking, he went from Desperado and Armad to a fucking bee.
And then his wife Meg Ryan turned into the Joker.
Oh God. Oh yeah.
She's looking rough.
She's
now.
Rough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but highly recommend. It's just about her life growing up in that situation and.
Yeah, Fun Home's real good.
Okay.
It's dramatic. It's sad as fuck.
Okay.
Because, like, obviously, like, she was struggling with being, like, you know, a gay woman, and the dad was closeted, and, you know, all kinds of, tragedy and stuff like that. So it's not, like, the most fun thing we've ever seen, but I knew that it would make her happy.
Yeah, fair enough.
Because she was super into it.
Oh, yeah.
And I did buy her the graphic novel, but she still hasn't read it.
Okay.
So, boom.
Boo.
Yeah,
I do know. Remember one night when I was hanging out that a song from Fun Home came on as a form of punishment for
Ring
you.
Ring of Keys,
and
yeah.
No, I think it was that I was also shit-talking or something, you know, something that I would normally do.
You?
And
shit-talk?
No. I know. And
I'm going to play it for everyone after this.
Oh, good,
ever.
Good. Yeah. So I'm glad this got brought up.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah. Happy to help. Yeah. So, we are on the tail end here. So we do have a final number that maybe discusses our appreciation for.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Before we get off all the subjects, I just want to say that Bollywood cinema.
Absolutely.
Is a great, like, hybrid of, like, Hollywood, like, cinema. And they infuse musical numbers like bananas.
It's amazing. You're watching like a sci-fi action movie, and all of a sudden it's like just dancing and singing.
How does it go again? Yeah,
and the head swivel, like the little head swivel. That
Mike has done this with us.
It's like, no, and not like forcefully either. It's just like okay.
No,
like,
they're fucking amazing.
Like chin on hand, just like leaning forward, enjoying every 3.5 hour minute of
they the, are super fucking
they're
long.
Super long.
Holy they are
shit.
Long as shit because it's a blockbuster movie, all 2+ hours of it, and it has like 5 fucking like musical videos in it.
Yeah.
Because they are music videos. They're not like a little dance number with a song. No, it's a fucking production.
They're big-ass sequences. Yeah.
It's
a
whole situation.
No,
it's
a serious.
It's a situation.
And I do want to say, real quick, the last musical that we saw together was the Beetlejuice, the musical.
God damn it, we wanted to go to that,
Which we saw in D.C. It was pre-Broadway. I think it's going to Broadway, so hopefully people will be able to see it like all over the fucking place in the next few years. Dude, that shit was raunchy as fuck.
Nice.
Because it's Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice was PG-13. This was rated R as fuck.
Yes. Nice.
It was amazing.
Hell yeah.
Well, Beetlejuice is PG-13 for 1980s. So that's kind of almost R. That's almost R.
Borderline. Pretty much at this point.
Nice fucking model.
Yeah. Right? When was, exactly. And he goes to a whorehouse.
Oh, like, yeah. Yeah, they had their, like, that was the one fuck of the PG-13 in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said fuck, like, all the time.
I like that.
Okay.
I'm down with that.
And he was raunchy and dirty as fuck. So
it was badass as fuck.
It was nice.
I'm excited to see that. I saw it was coming and I wanted to go to the showing. I know they had multiple nights in DC, but it just didn't work out. I really wanted to go to that. Beetlejuice the musical? Fuck yeah.
Fuck.
It was very good. Dude. Very good.
So real quick, I know we're going to get out of here, but just, you know, we're local here in Richmond. There's a bunch of local theaters to check out. The Basement, Firehouse. That's 2 of probably 20. So tons of local productions. VCU has awesome, does awesome productions too, and everything's relatively inexpensive. Also, of course, the Altree is here. So off-Broadway, and there's a ton of stuff coming this year. I see Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is coming, which is super
fun. Yeah. Okay.
Hamilton, we've talked a lot about. That will be here in Richmond. get ready to pay.
Yeah.
Cats is actually coming.
I would like
and
to see
taking
Cats.
You to that?
I would like to see Cats. Oh,
Fiddler on the Roof.
Yep,
a bunch of stuff.
See, I don't care about Cats, but Fiddler on the Roof, I would go see.
So just
if I went,
you know,
on
if you like this podcast, you like musicals. There's tons of theater here in Richmond, so make sure you check it out.
And Anthony and I are taking my parents to see Tommy.
Yes.
Yep.
Hell
couple
in
weeks.
Just
from now.
A couple weeks.
Excellent.
Nice.
In DC, and it's gonna be
alive.
Tits as fuck.
A live rendition of Tommy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be at the Kennedy
Center.
Center.
But they're reenacting the movie.
Well,
live.
It was before it was a movie, it was a rock opera that they designed to be basically just a musical.
Yeah.
The Who did. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So like they did that before it became a movie. Just like
see that.
Just like Jesus Christ Superstar. Like it
same.
Like a musical before it became the movie. But yeah.
I want to see a
couple weeks.
Oh yeah.
We'll be up there.
It's gonna be great.
Yeah. I wish I could still do drugs and go see Tommy.
Oh man. It's
fucking great.
Goddamn right.
The movie's fucking insane.
I do very much appreciate all you guys coming by and being on this panel, because this was an absolutely fun as hell episode to talk about all these amazing musicals.
Awesome. So many memories, man.
And as Swome said, definitely support, whether you're in Richmond or elsewhere, support your local productions of musicals. These are people that, you know, went to school for it and put their time and blood, sweat, and tears into making the best production possible. So Off-Broadway doesn't mean that it's bad. Oftentimes, there's a lot of like real genuine heart that goes into these productions. So put your money where your mouth is. If you're a musical fan, actually support the local production stuff. For
fuck
sure.
Yeah, dude.
I was absolutely gonna say we haven't been let down by local productions we've been to. They've been fucking stellar.
Here in Richmond, we've seen, we've walked out going, yep, that was worth it.
Yep. Hell yeah. Heather's
we've definitely seen some good stuff too.
Hairspray at VCU. That was amazing.
Yeah.
At the Firehouse Assassins. Sondheim, girl.
Yeah, that was pretty good. It wasn't perfect, but it was pretty good.
No, I mean, I'm sure every city has their clique of
just
talented actors and actresses.
Absolutely.
And thespians that are just putting on killer fucking
performances.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the only time I've ever seen Tommy was actually at VCU like 10 plus years ago. It was in their round theater.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that shit was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And they fired a fake gun and almost gave a dude a heart attack in front of me.
It was awesome.
I also want to say, if you have kids that are interested, there's a bunch of local children's theater too. Some are open, some are auditions. Just Google, because it's everywhere here in RVA.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Richmond, Virginia, baby.
Woo! Well, I do want to give a big thanks again to our regular listeners, our fans that have been with us for, you know, whether it's been, you know, a few weeks or a few months or 4 years. That you've been listening, we deeply appreciate it. We have an absolute blast putting together these shows on the Geeks Under the Influence Network. What we started with one show 4 years ago has blossomed into 8 shows, live events. One of the shows does only live recordings. We've got trivia. We've got all sorts of stuff happening, and a lot more coming this summer that we're going to start throwing out there into the world. So this is all because we have supportive and loving fans like you, the listener, right now. It's amazing, and it's been a hell of a ride, and I'm excited for the next 4, because it's only going to get weirder.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so excited.
It's progressively gotten weirder.
It's going to be so weird, which brings us to our last musical number.
Sad to say we're out of time.
It's all gone.
We went off rails, drank beer and wine.
And whiskey.
But it's all gone.
Thanks for joining all of us on this quest for laughs and song. You can find this show and more at GUIpodcast.com. This network has turned out great.
We're on Facebook.
Where once was one show, now there's 8.
All on Facebook.
We've got much more in store. If love is a battlefield, we're at war.
Follow our Twitter and Insta to find out more.
Thank you, fans, for standing by.
Please buy our merch.
As we build our network shows and went live.
Koozies, hats, and shirts.
Never thought we'd last this long. 4 years on and going strong.
Make sure to use our link to shop at Amazon.
We're privileged to have y'all as fans.
See our live shows.
In 4 short years, you have been friends.
Trivia, you must go.
With the shit show we push on. In 4 more years, we'll still be going strong.
Come out to GalaxyCon.
That's all, folks. We gotta go.
I'm sorry.
So join us next time on our show.
you'll be starving.
We made this hour really fly. So as we say, join us or die.
Shut the fuck up, hop it please, just this one time.
GUIPodcast.com.